Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with the Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Well, my guest is red hot for the Messiah. His name is Leif Hetland. And Leif goes to countries like Pakistan, and he puts things up on billboards. And Leif, you remind me of myself, because I do this with Jewish people all the time. But he goes to a country in Pakistan, and he proclaims, if Jesus is alive, you'll see miracles, and you have billboards. Do you ever think, well, what happens if I have several thousand Muslims in the audience and there aren't any miracles? Does that thought ever cross your mind?
I need to be honest with you. Yes, I do. It's some of the things that keeps you awake. And
I know, because the same thing happens to me, but go ahead. Because as you and I know, I can't make anything happen. I mean, if God doesn't show up, I'm in such big trouble.
I know. I realize that I cannot have a plan B, because the advertisement is very simple, that Jesus is going to be like just a little over a month ago in this cricket stadium. So the advertisement, he is there and he is alive, and you're going to see these things as an evidence. And if he is in me, and if he is alive, if not, I know you're going to kill me. So I realize that is when you're going to an area and you're sharing about his goodness and you're sharing about his love, but you're also sharing about something that is totally supernatural. And that is that if he doesn't show up, I know that I will not come home. And I share that with my wife. I hope he's going to show up.
I could tell you some stories that I've done in Israel and in Russia the same way with unsaved Jewish people. So tell me about a meeting you had last year.
Yeah, last year we in November we went into the country of Pakistan. This is my 16th trip there. I've been to 76 different nations and have a very special love towards the Muslim people. I believe that part of my calling was similar, like I'm not trying to share or preach, but I got a word when I went into Pakistan from Genesis 33:10. And it says, actually, and it is about Jacob after becoming Israel. It says that when I saw Esau's face, I saw the face of God. And I also saw that you were well pleased with me. So Esau had married into Ishmael's family, into the Muslim. That's where Esau was. And he came with vengeance. He was actually a terrorist, coming to terrorize. But something had changed, first of all, with Jacob. He had become a prince. He had become Israel. And as a result, when Israel looked at him, when Jacob looked at him, he did not see him as he was. He saw the face of God. And I knew that that was something that I had as I went in there. When I'm looking at those faces, some of them have never heard of Jesus, never heard about love. They've lived their entire life. They don't know anything about life. So I realized that my mission was very clear, to going into an area where there's not been any evangelistic meeting, where Jesus never has been.
But Muslims in particular, what did God tell you about them as far as, are they open to the gospel now?
Yeah, I have traveled now since this importation in 1995. Actually, in 1996 was my first time doing an open meeting, and been doing it on a regular basis. Muslims have a great honor for Jesus. There's a tremendous hospitality. I believe the biggest thing that I want to do is to change our worldview towards Muslim. And I've sat down with radicals. I've sat down with people that want to cut my throat. I've sat down with people that are like Saul, that wants to kill a Stephen, that wants to kill the Jesus in you. But I do believe the love in me is greater than the fear that is in them. I believe the light in me is stronger than the darkness in them. So if we don't have the proper worldview towards them, because all these people, they've lived their entire life and they've never heard about the love.
How many would you reach if you did not operate in the supernatural? How many Muslims would you reach?
I would probably say zero. to be honest.
And how many have you reached over the last few years?
Well, we have in 16 years had over probably 960,000 people that have had an encounter with Jesus on one level or another. That means either they have prayed and invited Jesus in because they saw him, they've seen signs, wonders, and miracles, they've had dreams, they've been taken up to heaven. There's just been all these amazing things that...
Okay, let's go back to that revival that you had in Pakistan, where you literally take a deep breath and you go out on a platform where you've advertised miracles. It's how many Muslims were at this particular meeting?
Well, there was at least in the thousands, and we do have both pictures and videos from that.
Okay, so there's several thousand Muslims there. You go on the platform. What happened?
Well, what we do is we use a lot of cultural songs and everything else in the earlier stages, connecting with them. I would be introduced many times. I have top Muslim leaders introducing me, and that's very because they are my friends. But when I come up, the first message I preached was Jesus. When Jesus shows up, good things happen. And I just started to describe, pretty much from the New Testament, all these people, when they were blind like Bartimaeus or the woman who had been bleeding, I just tell story after story. When Jesus shows up, good things happen. And then I described their very city and the place we were at. And I said, Jesus, if he is here tonight, you're going to watch. Good things is going to happen. Lame people are going to walk. Blind people are going to see. And literally, the major reason most of them are there is curiosity, because none doctor could help them. They have no answer. They've been living there. And when they're hearing the testimony, they came. And that's how we doubled the meeting night after night. So when you literally are seeing, to see Muslim imam carrying their children, or to see a Muslim imam coming there with his father that is blind, when you're seeing people with a long beard or women behind a veil, literally they are coming there hearing for the first time the name of Jesus, and they recognize that when Jesus shows up, good things happen.
Now, describe some of the good things that happened at this this most recent meeting.
Yeah, I would say there's five in the first meeting, and then it doubled, and then it doubled. The last night was out of control, but the first night when it was there, it's not enough to have healings and miracles, but Jesus needed to do significant so that it's creative miracles that they can see. So one of them, he came crawling in. Literally, his limbs are very deformed, almost like an animal. And by the time he got closer and closer to the stage and came up, and I have seven people with me from America and a couple of key leaders, but by the time he came up on the stage, the limbs has been straightened out, and the audience is watching, and he comes up, and he walks up on the stage, and he starts to testify what Jesus had done. Another one was born blind, and you cannot see anything in her eyes, and they carried her blind. And when she starts to come up and she sees the audience, I will never forget that face, when that girl and when both the mama and papa is holding that girl, and for the first time in her life, she turns towards the audience, then she looks at me, and her face just shines as she can see for the first time in her life. And we had five significant miracles. One of them...
But wait a second. Now, on this young girl, you said there was nothing in her eyes. What do you mean by that?
That means that when you look there, I'm trying to remember the word in English, but the pupil or the eyeball, we didn't see when she came.
No, there was no color. It was just all white, maybe?
It was like white, yeah. We looked whitish and grayish. But you saw the process. And before, when we've been there, I have not that many, but we took a lot of the pictures of the people and videos of the people while they're in the audience in their desperation, hoping Jesus is going to come. And we watched them like this one boy out of the wheelchair, the same with this girl. We watched the process. Even while she was up on stage and started to see a little bit better, we saw the change taking place. And eventually, even just talking the testimony of Jesus up on stage.
Now you did this for three nights. The first night, there were some notable miracles. The second night, there were more. I imagine the faith level was spectacular the third night. What happened the third night?
Yeah, it was. I have never seen anything like it, and I have one of my dear friends, Dr. Bob Phillips, and he said, and he's been all over the world, the thing that I think surprised me was the hunger level. It's the first time I understand the scripture why you would cut a hole in the roof to try to get your friend to him. It's the first time I think I understand how this woman with a with the issue of blood, would press herself in hoping to touch Jesus. They broke, actually, protocol because there's a rope there for security reason, and they tried to storm me, hoping that if I can touch him, that Jesus and him, I'm going to be well.
Now, did many come to the Lord?
Yeah, we, night after night, that's always very, very clearly. Now, if you have seen Jesus, you have experienced Jesus, and if you believe in Jesus, that he is alive. Now, how many? And you will see it when we get together, that literally in the thousands each night, the most conservative number on this last trip, but this is in a totally unreached area, was 15,000 names added to the Lamb's Book of Life. They received Jesus. They prayed and invited Jesus, please come into my heart. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. Oh, Jesus, the last night I preached, Jesus is King. He's King, and he's the King over this area. He rules and reigns, and it was a kingdom message. I said, how many of you would like Jesus to be the King of your life? All over the place. Literally, I don't think there was anybody that did not. I mean, the whole place was just changed because the presence of God was so thick in that place. As I'm saying, I've been in meetings and conferences all over, but that is the most significant night of my life.
You know what that reminds me of? As I read about Solomon dedicating the temple in the Old Testament, it says that the Shekinah, that's the Hebrew word for the glory of God, it's the Shekinah, it just was so thick that the priest could not even stand. Did it get to that point?
Well, it started to get to that point. It became dangerous of the presence of God. And the miracles, it was not just the miracle, the line of people that want to testify, and not just miracles, but we've seen literally thousands and thousands of people waving that they've already been healed of everything you can imagine. But in the end, it got so wild that the guards, who's Muslim guards, wonderful, wonderful people with the machine guns and everything else, escorting us out because they were storming the stage, getting up, trying to touch me.
They weren't upset that you were preaching Jesus. They were upset because they couldn't touch you. That's great.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The whole thing, I have never seen. I've been there many, many times. But it is the love that these people had for Jesus, and they were coming after him. They wanted a touch from him. They believed he was alive. If not, they wouldn't risk their own life.
Well, I'm sorry. Our time has slipped away. If you've enjoyed this discussion, you are going to enjoy the anointing and the presence of God on the two CDs of Leif Hetland that we're making available, titled Dream Your Destiny. When he shares this, people that have lost their vision, had original calls of God, they're reactivated. People that have never dreamt before are getting supernatural wisdom for businesses, direction for life. We're making these two CDs available for a gift of $24. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.